All right, James chapter 2, everybody. James chapter number 2, if you'd take your Bibles there. And we want to make sure we've got some Bibles, and we're going to be going through the Scriptures today. So if you don't have a Bible, we'll make sure you've got one. So go ahead and lift up your hand. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it home, use it, and this is for you. If you just forgot your Bible today and you just need one to borrow for the morning, go ahead and lift up your hand, and you can set it back on the shelf as we get ready to leave this morning. So James chapter 2, we'll start off in James 2 each week of this series, and then we're going to dive into a lot of different scriptures. So I just really want to encourage you. We'll have the scripture passages and the page numbers if you're not familiar with where to find stuff, if you got one of those adventure Bibles we're handing out. So I really want to encourage you to follow along with us this morning. Just super excited about this series. Just had a wonderful weekend last week with Liam. I wanted to share with you the note that he sent me this week. He says, "Dear Pastor Greg and Adventure Church of Yuba City family, I wish I were better able to articulate exactly how much my visit with you touched my heart. He truly does work in mysterious ways, and my time with you was a much-needed respite from the grind and the toil of life. I cannot thank you and our Father enough. It was an honor to spend my weekend with you, and you blessed my family and I in such an amazing way. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I know that my family and I will always have a place to belong in Yuba City. Thank you for your love, support, and faith. With much love, Liam." So thank you so much for just loving on him. And he came at a kind of a junction point in his own personal life. And it just came, he just said time and time again, this just came at just the perfect moment for me. And so I know that he was a huge blessing to us throughout the weekend while he was here visiting and sharing. And there's tons of pictures back there. So if you're here and you got a picture taken, make sure you grab those pictures. And we'll have electronic versions as well. So we'll email that stuff out to you as best we can. But you were a blessing to him, and he just kept saying that over and over and over again, and so thank you. So that kind of got things kicked off for our Do You Believe series, and so now these next 4 weeks, we're going to have some time together to share and unpack some of these truths. So just a little bit of the context again. So Life According to Jim is where we've been now for the last several weeks. We've been going through the book of James verse by verse by verse, and we're coming back to that. So don't think we've jettisoned James in any way. We're coming back to James, but we've been going through, and we finished up chapter 2, and chapter 2 is the text that deals so much with faith and works and putting our faith into action. And now we're having this series, the Do You Believe series, which is going to be now for the weekend, last week, and now the 4 weeks. And this is the how. This is the how. How, okay, Pastor, I got to put my faith into action. You preached that. You talked about that. James chapter number 2. Now, how do I do that? So the next 4 weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to unpack the hows of what it is. Because it's more, there's more to life and more to understanding about life than just you need to do X. You know, whatever that is. We a lot of time we understand the what's, a lot of times we understand the why's, but where we get hung up, where we get caught up, where we struggle is in the how. Like, Pastor, I would love to do what you're teaching me to do, but how do I do that? The how's are very, very important. If you tell your four-year-old to tie their shoe, tie your shoe. You better take the time to show your four-year-old how to tie a shoe. If you tell a new employee, just, hey, get to work. Start working, without telling them how they're supposed to do their job, that's going to be an issue. And I want to take this moment to introduce a new member of our team. Jose Rea is there in the back. Jose, just stand up really quick. This Jose Rea, he's taken Jacob's position as the media director of the church. And so, Jose, thank you for your work and the work of the other guys back there in the back. But Jose, it's like, okay, go at it, No, he's been training and working alongside Jacob now for several weeks, and now doing the job. Ladies, if you tell your husband to fold clothes, throw him a bone, and show him how, because there are different ways, to do it. My wife and I, who doesn't tri-fold their towels, Like, that's my mom. She tri-folded all of our towels, and Trey's like, that's not how we fold the towels in this house. Maybe that's how you fold them in your old house, but that's not how we fold them in this house. So there are ways to do certain things. And so it's not just about the what and the why, it's about the how. And that this series is going to hopefully better equip us with the how we can put our faith into action. I also want to encourage you to join a Do You Believe small group, because that's going to be another wonderful opportunity and a very practical a very, comfortable environment in somebody's home to talk about some of the things that we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks. So I wanted to let you know about a few things that are back there on the table that Christy's going to be back there. We've got the study guide, so if you want to be a part of a Do You Believe small group, here's the study guide. These cost us $8, and so we're asking for $8 just to help reimburse that cost. If that's an issue for you in any way, we want to make sure that if you're part of a small group, you get a book. But if you'd like to help us with that, those are back there. We also have these Do You Believe 40-Day Devotionals. Those are there in the back. These are $5 a piece. And then here is it's the most important question in your life, just a little track that just a dollar there in the back. So if you'd like to pick up some of these resources in the back, they're in the back there by all the photos with Liam from last weekend. So let me encourage you to join a Do You Believe small group. And then at the end of this series, we're going to have our Be the Church, Reach the City initiative, which will be the second time we've done that, where we actually physically go out and be the church. We're not going to come to church that day. We're going to be the church, and we're going to go out into the community and do various service projects and really put our faith into action, and then we're going to come back around and start James chapter number 3 and finish up our Life According to Jim series. So super excited about this time, super excited about this season for our church, and we're so glad that you're here. So if you're here for the very first time, it's your first Sunday, you've come at a great time because it's week number 1 of this 4-week series, Do You Believe? And if you believe, what are you going to do about it? So let's look at verse number 26, James chapter number 2. And we'll use this to be our jump point each week to kind of bring us back into that mindset we've been going through in the book of James. James 2:26, the Bible says this, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And we use the example, we use the analogy, the illustration of, once this body dies, once my physical body dies, it's no longer helpful to anybody in my life. It's no longer helpful to my family. It's no longer helpful to my community. It is worthless to those around me. Our faith is useless if we're not putting it into action to other people. It's useless to other people. It's useless to your coworkers. It's useless to your teammates. It's useless to the people that you are in your world, in your sphere, unless you're putting it into action. So that's our hope. That's our prayer, putting it into action. So four things we're going to look at, four things we're going to unpack. So here we go. So today we're going to talk about putting our faith into action requires, number one, increasing our awareness. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What does it mean to increase our awareness in our world? Number two, next week we'll look at Number one. That's on me. Wow, that's cool. Number one, increasing our awareness. Number one, that's a great thing about doing two services. It's like, oh, cool, now I can change it. I can fix it for service number two. Okay, next week, taking up our cross. What does it mean to take up our cross? And how does that, boy. Copy and paste is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Making tough choices. That'll be week number 3, and this is where we'll really kind of dissect a little bit that scene with Bobby, with Liam, who was here, and the choices he had to make. And then number 4, the fourth week, embracing the gift of grace. Embracing the gift of grace. And I'm really excited about that message because I want to be so clear. I want to be so careful that the whole context of what we're talking about, it's not so that we can be looking good and not so we can earn God's favor. So God will, God is cheering us on, you are as completely accepted by God as you are ever going to be once you have Jesus in your life. Okay? You don't have to do anything more. Okay? So I want us to make sure that in the context we're understanding that we're embracing the gift of grace as we're putting our faith into action to those in our world, those in our community. So 1-1-1-1. Nice. Okay. So the other thing that we're going to do as we get ready to start each message is we're going to show a little clip from the film. All right? And so now I have to warn you, so we're going to show a clip with Joe. Okay? Hopefully there's not a number one or something up there. Do you have the... Just the PowerPoint slide first. There we go. Okay, so there's Joe. So how many of you have seen the movie again? How many of you have seen the movie? Okay, number of you have seen the movie. Okay, awesome. So we're going to do a little clip on Joe, but I've got to tell you, it's going to be a spoiler clip, okay? So if you haven't seen the movie, I don't mean to spoil it for people that haven't seen it, but look, we showed it twice for free, okay? I mean, I tried, okay? Next slide. Just in case anybody wonders, Darth Vader is Luke's father too. Okay, so just getting all the movie spoilers out there. So anyway, so there's a scene here at the end of the film. Great scene where Joe, we think he's gone, but hello, he's actually back. And there's a great conversation between Joe and the doctor that we want to unpack a little bit. So guys, go ahead and hit that clip for us. All right, isn't that great? Love that. You know, Liam talked to me a little bit about that scene, and he said, you know, when it was on the page, you know, just on the script, you know, it came across as just maybe a little bit hokey, like, oh man, are we going too far? And then as they talked about it and they, you know, sat around and figured out, you know, how to best present it, you know, it's only hokey if you believe that God can't do something like that. And the truth is, we believe in a God that can do miracles and is a miracle working God. So that's a wonderful scene at the end of the film. So the message here today is based on that scripture we're going to go to in just a minute. Give us eyes to see. You know, here's a doc. You know, saw a real life miracle, and still like looking for some kind of scientific explanation for it. And he replies, you know, even though they have eyes, they don't see. Even though they have ears, they don't hear. So our prayer this morning is, Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see. So turn with me to Mark chapter number 8. All right, Mark chapter number 8. And again, I want to encourage you to follow along with us this morning as we go through several scriptures today. Mark chapter number 8, it's page 720 in that Adventure Bible. At least I hope it is, okay? And after the 1111, I'm not entirely sure. So Mark chapter number 8, let's look at verses 14 to 21. The Bible says this: Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. I love that. Like, who was supposed to bring the bread? You know, who? Weren't you bringing Peter? Weren't you? No, I wasn't bringing the bread. You know, you were supposed to bring the bread. I just think about those things when I read the scripture. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the seven of the four for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" So this is post the miracles of Jesus taking the bread and distributing it, and they had seen this wonderful miracle, and he's reminding them of that. And again, I apologize, but I'm looking at this conversation, and you know, in the scripture, when it was originally written, you know, there weren't chapter divisions, there weren't verse divisions, there wasn't even punctuation. And I kind of wonder, like, because I've had some of these conversations with, like, my own children before, and I'm wondering, you know, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And I wonder if it was, like, 12? You know, your kids do that? You know, like, they ask a question, they know the answer, but it's like, 12? Yes, 12! You know, how about when I did, you know, the 4,000? 7? Yes, 7! I did these miracles. Do you still not understand? They had seen the awesome demonstration of the power of God, and they got one loaf of bread, and they're like, what are we going to do? We have no bread. And Jesus just got to be like, are you kidding me? So putting our faith into action requires increasing our awareness, okay? Increasing our awareness. That's the first thing that we need to do in the how of putting our faith in action. So what's going on around us? We'll never make an impact, never touch the lives of others if we're not aware of what's happening in people's lives. But before we get to that, because it's an obvious starting point to be increasing our awareness, we need to be aware of the needs of the people around us. And we're getting there. That's where we're going toward the end of the message. But I was praying about this and thinking about this truth this week. I got to thinking, you know, what's going on in us first? Do we have an awareness of what's happening even in our own lives? What's happening not just around us, what's happening in us. So the first question I want us to ask is this: what's going on in you? Okay, and you've got some space in your bulletin. I apologize, there's no outline in there. Bulletin goes to print on Thursday, and I was gone this week, so I didn't have time to get all the outline in there. But please let me encourage you to take some notes if you'd like. So the first question I want to ask in this context of increasing our awareness is, what's going on in you? So don't start at what's happening around you. Don't start with coworkers, friends, neighbors, family, people in your sphere of influence. Start first with you. What's happening in you? What's going on in you? Let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? I don't want to just assume this morning, we're having this dynamic series on putting our faith into action. I'm not going to make the assumption up here this morning that everyone here even knows Jesus. And so I want to make sure that we unpack clearly what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13? 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, and let's look at one verse now and a few other verses in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Has there been a time in your life when you personally accepted Jesus as your Savior? Let me tell you a little bit about my story. I was raised in church, grew up in church my entire life. Very, very rarely did I ever miss service for anything. All right, I was in church whenever the doors were open. At the age of 6 years old, I made a profession of faith. I asked Jesus to come into my life. It was after a Sunday school class. I went home that night. I looked up into the stars, and I asked God to save me because I did not want to go to hell. I'd come to the realization of what heaven and hell, and there was something after this life, and I didn't understand it all, but I understood enough that I did not want to go to hell. And so that was enough, and that's a good reason, by the way, all right, to accept Jesus as your Savior. Don't want to discount that in any way. Okay, I made that decision, and then was very active, very involved in church, but as I've shared before, went through a season of real doubting with my faith. Saw one of these end times movies, these end time films with the rapture, and I used to get just so filled with fear that I was going to get left behind, that I was going to be, everybody else was going to leave. I was going to wake up one morning, my mom was going to be gone, my grandma was going to be gone, my brother was going to be gone, and, you know, I would be left to face the Antichrist and be confronted with taking the mark of the beast and all these things that were just filling up my brain. And so every night for literally weeks and weeks and weeks on end, I would just pray, Lord, just in case I didn't say the right words, just in case I didn't really mean it, just in case there was anything that was distracting me, the last time I prayed to you, I want you into my life, and I want to be part of your family. Please save me. Please forgive me. Amen. You know, and I would go to bed, and I would sleep, and I'd get up, and I'd live my day, and then at night, oh man, what happens if Jesus comes in the middle of the night, and I'm the only one left? And I would do that over and over and over again. It wasn't until I was in college, I was a college student, a Bible college student, studying to be in the ministry, that I finally was able to truly wrap my heart and my mind around the truth that said this: it was not about anything that I was doing, that I was saved wholly by grace. And I remember one of my Bible doctrine, one of my theology professors, and he would teach us about how, you know, that date is important, that time is important, that it's, you know, that transaction is important. But who are you trusting? Who are you trusting for your salvation? I'm trusting Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I've made that choice in my life to follow Jesus with all of my life. And I rededicated my life to Christ. I got the assurance of my salvation when I was in college. And not once have I doubted whether I was truly a child of God, because it's not about me. I am kept in the palm of the Father's hand. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Okay? So that's a little bit of my what is your testimony? What is your story? What is God, what are the pieces that God put in place in your life to bring you to the place where you realize that I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior, Jesus Christ is that Savior, and I've now placed my faith and trust in Him to take care of my eternity, to take care of my need as a human being. Do you have that story? If you do not have that story, let me encourage you to accept Jesus today. Examine yourself, the Bible says, to see if you are in the faith. And we've heard that before about examining and testing and looking. We've seen that in the book of James, where the word is a mirror. We are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says it's so simple that even a child can understand it. Even a child can come to realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior, and calling upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. This is not the common core version of salvation. Yeah, I'm a little bitter. I'm a bitter fourth grade parent, all right? So if you love Common Core, God bless you, okay? We don't really like it in our house, you know? This is so complicated. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Just add these two numbers together, multiply or subtract or whatever, okay? He's made it very simple for us. He's made it very simple. God loves us. He loves us so much. He sent his son to die for you, to take your pain, your punishment, your guilt, all the things, all your sin, past, present, future. And when he dies, when we place our faith and trust in him, that all goes away, and we have an eternal life in heaven waiting for us and an abundant life here for us here on earth. Amen? Amen. And if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want this morning to be the morning that you finally say yes to Jesus. What's going on inside of you? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? But let me ask you secondly, does your life honor the gift you've been given? Does your life honor the gift you've been given? Let's continue reading in these verses, verses 6 and 7. It says, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong, not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. This is not about perfection. It's never been about perfection. It's never been about, you know, you got to have your life completely. It's not about you're never going to be. That's not the standard. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins because we couldn't be perfect, because we couldn't be good enough to earn grace, to earn salvation, to earn this heavenly relationship with him. We are not perfect. You are not perfect. I am not perfect. We will fail. We will mess up. We will offend because that's just who we are. We like to say two things jokingly around here, and we say them jokingly, but it's true. Number one, you know, if you're looking for a perfect church, this isn't the place for you. And if you are perfect, please don't come to our church because you're going to mess up our mojo. Okay? This isn't the place for you. Okay? Don't come to Adventure. No perfect people allowed. We're going to put that on a banner or something, okay? The other thing that we jokingly say, but truth to it, the other thing we jokingly say is, you know, hey, you know, if we haven't offended you yet, if I haven't offended you yet, just hang on. You're on the list. We just haven't gotten to you yet. Hang on. We're going to get there, I promise. Why? Because we're all imperfect people. And perfection is not the standard. But we have to, and he's saying this here in the text. He's saying, though we may seem to, like, you know, man, like, we're doing our very best. We hope it doesn't look like we've failed this test. But we're seeking to honor God, honor the gift, honor the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf for him. Now, the flip side is this, okay? The flip side is this. Well, I'm just human. Can I be frank? We're friends, right? What a lazy cop-out that is. What a lazy, lazy cop. Well, I'm just human. Okay, yeah, we get it. We get it. But don't ever fall back on your humanness as an excuse for doing the wrong thing. Let's just not do that. So, yeah, the standard is not perfection. We're not ever going to be perfect. But we can't just be like, well, you know, I'm just human. Hey, God's trying to do a work in your life. God's trying to grow you. God's trying to mature you. God's brought you to a church, and he's given us his word, and you have the Holy Spirit of God. All these things that are sanctifying you and bringing you to a place where you can understand better what God wants you to do. Are you being transformed into a new person? Are you experiencing victory with your words, with your thoughts, with your emotions, with your attitudes? As your child ever said, you know, they get busted, they get in trouble, and they get, you know, they fall short of the standard of your home. And they can come back with a retort that's like, well, Dad, nobody's perfect. You know, you're absolutely right. Nobody is perfect. And I love you, and you're still grounded. Okay? Right? Okay, yeah, absolutely right. Nobody's perfect. But we don't fall back on that as an excuse to live any way that we want to live. Our lives need to honor the gift that we've been given. Turn back just a few pages to 1 Corinthians. That's 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to just take you really quick to the communion passage. Okay, this is the text that we always read when we do communion here at the church, which is the first Sunday of every month. And we read these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, let a person, what's that next word? Examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died. So when we come together for communion, we take a few moments and we examine ourselves. And it's not about being, none of us are worthy. It's not about being worthy. The Bible says, in an unworthy manner. Do we receive it in an unworthy manner? So we take the time in the service, we take the time before we observe communion, we pause, we bow our heads, we have a moment of reflection, and we say, Lord, is my life honoring the gift that I've been given? And is there something in my life that I need to change? Is there something in my life that I need to make right with a brother or a sister or someone in my family, someone in the church, someone in the community, you know, whomever? Is there something I need to make right at this moment? I'm examining myself so that I can ascertain and answer this question. Think about this hypothetical. If someone spends their entire life drinking, okay, their entire life drinking, and they completely destroy their liver, just destroy it. And through circumstances, your son or your daughter becomes the donor of a new liver for that person. Their death brings about new life for someone else. And God bless those that offer such gifts. The death that you've experienced offers now new life. And a new, fresh, you know, liver is placed into this one. And that person continues that lifestyle of drinking and alcoholism and destroying that. How would you feel as a parent? How could you do that? How could you trample on the gift that you've been given? Does everybody see the analogy? It's that times a thousand. God says, I give of my son, I give you my only son to be brutally murdered so that you could be forgiven and you could have this new life. And you just go about business as usual? You treat your wife, you treat your family, you treat people the same way you've always treated them? You still think the same things? You still say the same things? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Does your life honor the gift you've been given? We've been given so much. Are we honoring him with that gift that we've been given? Okay? So increasing our awareness, number one, involves what's going inside of us. So before we start looking outside the walls, I want to encourage each one of you to examine your heart, to examine yourself. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Does your life honor the gift you've been given? Okay? And then number two, what's going on around you? Increasing our awareness clearly deals with what's happening around us, what's happening in life, what's happening with people, what's happening even in our own families. Let's look at a couple scriptures in Matthew. First one, Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9, verses 35 to 38. okay? The first thing I want you to notice is that compassion is always preceded by vision. Compassion is always preceded by vision. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. We read these words. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We are moved by the things we see. We are moved by the things we see. And if we don't see it, we won't be moved by it. That's why I always change the channel when Sarah, what's her name, comes up. All right? How many of you have seen this commercial? How many of you have seen, you know what I'm talking about? You know, the animals and stuff. And I was going to have the audio clip and have, you know, the arms of the, you know, and they play that really like sad, they play a really sad song. Every time that commercial comes up, I change the channel. You know why? Because I'll empty out my bank account. Because I love animals. And I'll just be like, oh, I don't want to see that. It's going to make me cry. It's going to make me sad. It's going to cause me to want to do something. Okay? And we do that all the time. Because compassion is always preceded by vision. So look around, church. Look around. Look around and see what's happening. Look around your neighborhood. Look around your neighborhood. Look around your school. Look around your workplace. Look around this body of believers right here. Look around. What is going on around you? We need eyes to see, and compassion will follow. Jesus lifted up his eyes. He saw the crowds, and he had compassion for them, because they are harassed and helpless like sheep having no shepherd. Give us eyes to see. And check this out. And I'm not gonna rant here, but you know, knowing what's going around us, and not just like the sanitized Facebook version of life. Okay? Not just the sanitized Facebook version of life. I love this quote. The reason we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. Okay? And that's Facebook. And I feel like I'm qualified. I'm a qualified person to speak on this subject because I spend so much time on Facebook. And listen, Facebook is a blessing. It's a wonderful way to mobilize for prayer. It's a wonderful way to communicate with people. It's a wonderful way to share with family and friends who are all not just all over the country but all over the world. Facebook is a wonderful, wonderful tool. It can also become one of the biggest curses in your life. And you better be careful about that. And I better be careful about that. We need to be careful about forming all, you know, we form our opinions based on someone's Facebook. Okay? That's not reality. That's about as reality as a quote-unquote reality TV show. All right? We need to be aware of what's going on around us. Certainly not suggesting we air all of our dirty laundry there either, but we need to be careful about forming our opinions based on just those things that we see oftentimes in social media. I was having lunch this week with a good friend of mine, Kevin. A lot of you know Kevin, and I said, "Man, can I share this story? This is great." He goes, "Yeah, no, totally. It's totally fine. You share the story," and because they had just celebrated it, they had their wedding in June, and they had just celebrated their first date, and they went to P.F. Chang's, you know, for their first date, and they posted a picture, and it was really nice and cute, and like, yeah, we're celebrating our first date, and Kevin told me, I said, yeah, I saw that on Facebook, man, that's awesome, you guys like reenacted your first date, and you went to P.F. Chang's. He goes, yeah, well, what you didn't see was during that exact same date, I mean, moments later after that picture was taken, Tracy dumped a bunch of hot soup in her lap. And so here I have this vision of this wonderful date they had based on this photo that I saw on Facebook, and I was like, where's the picture of the scalded legs, you know? Like, where's that at, you know? Now, some people do that, and so I get that, but the point is this. We just see a skewed version of reality, and we need to dig a little bit deeper, and it's going to take time, and it's going to take effort to get to know people so that we can know what's going on around us, so that we can better serve and help and come alongside. Compassion is always preceded by vision. And then notice, turn over to Matthew chapter 14, just a couple pages over. Action should always follow compassion. action should always follow compassion. You know, it was interesting as I was working on this week and looking at these points. I originally had compassion is always preceded by vision, and then the next point I put action is always or compassion is always preceded by action. That there was like this automatic relationship between the two. And then I stopped and thought, I said, you know what? That's really not the case. You know, sometimes we see it, and sometimes we have compassion for it, but that's like the end of the line for us sometimes, right? Then we just walk away. We don't always act. And so I changed the wording of this to action should always follow compassion. So you got to see, and you got to have compassion, and then act. So Matthew chapter 14 verses 13 and 14, and this is, we're coming full circle now, okay? So this is the account of the feeding of the 5,000 that we started out with Mark chapter 8 when they were looking back on one of these instances, okay? Look what it says there. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself, but when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He had compassion on them, and then he healed their sick. And then it goes on to say 15 and following, you've got the account of the feeding of the 5,000. So he didn't just have compassion on them and then leave. He had compassion on them, and then he did something. And that is the model that we follow. He saw the need, he felt the need, he responded and acted upon the need. Jesus was a man of action, and those of us that name his name should be as well. We need to be people of action. It will not happen unless we increase our awareness of both what's going on in us and what's going on around us. Putting our faith into action requires increasing our awareness. Why is this such a challenge? Why is this such a challenge for us? Because like the disciples, we can miss it. We can miss it. Think of everything the disciples saw. Think of the miracles that the disciples saw. They saw Jesus take a little bit of bread and feed 5,000 people. And they get into a situation where they just have one loaf of bread for themselves. And like, what are we going to do? We've only got one thing of bread. They had completely missed it. And my challenge for myself, my challenge for our church, my challenge for you today, don't miss it. Why? Because, Father, give us eyes to see. Why? Because we can see and we can miss it. Father, give us ears to hear. Why? Because we can hear and we can miss it. Father, give us a heart to understand. Why? Because we can know and we can miss it. That's my prayer for us this morning. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that would understand what we can do to be his hands and feet in our world. What are you going to do this week to increase the awareness of what's going on? Maybe it's something as simple as walking up to your neighbor's house and knocking on their door and introducing yourself. Maybe you don't even know your neighbor's name. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe it's coming to prayer on Wednesday morning. Every Wednesday morning, we gather here for prayer at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 7:45 here at the church. We pray for all the prayer list, and we pray for other things that come into the office, you know, throughout the course of the week. We schedule it at 7 o'clock in the morning so that it's well before time for school, well before time for work for most people. Maybe that's what you need to do this week. Maybe you need to come and join us and be a part of a prayer movement to come alongside people in prayer. Maybe it's committing 4 weeks to plug into a small group here at the church and getting to know some people in our community. Maybe it's right now calling on God in faith to save you. Because as you examine your heart to see if you're in the faith, you have questions about that. Maybe there's something else in your life and you recognize, man, this is not honoring the gift that I have been given. I need to change something about my life today. I don't know what your takeaway might be today. But friends, let me encourage you to take away something. Take away something from this time. Take away something from this message. Let's not let it become just an educational academic exercise. Let's put our faith into action. Do you believe? If the answer is yes, the next statement is what? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the time this morning, and I pray, Lord, your blessing on each ear, on each listener. Lord, I thank you for how you've used this message to impact my life. Lord, I need to increase my awareness both of what's going on in my life and what's going on around my life. And Lord, I pray for so many here today whom your Holy Spirit may have impacted. And I pray that we would take something away from this message as we go back out into our world to impact people. We can't do it if we don't see it. Give us vision, give us compassion, give us a plan of action to meet the needs of people around us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning, let me just ask in closing today as I pray, can I pray for you? Are you here today and you'd say, Pastor Greg, God has touched my heart, God has spoken to my heart. There's something that God has revealed to me today that I need to make change. There's something I need to do today. I'm taking something away from this message. I need to increase my awareness, both about what's going on in my life and what's going on in the lives of the people around me. And I'm asking you, Pastor Greg, in these closing moments, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that today who just lift up their hand quickly? Just raise it up and lower it down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Brian's going to be over here in the prayer corner this morning. And if you're here and you'd like to have prayer with someone, let me encourage you to come over here this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never named the name of Jesus. Oh, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. Father, thank you so much for these hands that have been lifted this morning. Lord, we live in a world in need. And Father, we're never going to be able to put our faith into action until we increase our awareness. So Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that would understand, and then act. Help us not to miss it, dear God. Bless each and every one that lifted the hand today. Lord, you know exactly what's going on in their life. You know exactly the circumstance or the person that you laid upon their heart. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.